I have to speak from the altar because there's no room on that podium for these papers. We have begun our retreat. This is a kind of solemn beginning point. We began with the orientation, of course, and you've already been introduced to the theme, Speak, Lord, Your Servant is Listening. And now that you're listening, let me just warn you. Pope Francis says that homilies shouldn't be more than 10 minutes long. And I frequently break that rule. But especially on a retreat, I take the opportunity to speak a little bit longer because that's why we're here. So we're not in a hurry to go anywhere. So let me speak a little bit about these scripture readings in light of this theme, Speak, Lord, Your Servant is Listening. We've already been introduced to young Samuel, one of the first of the prophets, and he's the one who says these words, Speak, Lord, Your Servant is Listening. And he was taught to say that by Eli, and that's what we are also being taught. A prophet is a spokesman for the Lord, a spokesman of the Lord, and all the prophets are good listeners. Well, except for Jonah. He's a special case, Jonah. But most of the prophets are good listeners. All of them are good. And that's the key to being a spokesman, is being a listener. Because how can a prophet have anything to say if he hasn't first heard it from the Lord? Well, I mentioned prophets because in today's first reading, we hear about another great prophet, Jeremiah. He comes later in the story of Israel, of course, about five centuries later than Samuel. Samuel was alive at the beginning of the kings. Remember, he's the one who first anointed King Saul, the very first of the kings. And Jeremiah was alive at the end of the kings when the kingdom was destroyed and they were all sent into exile, destruction of Jerusalem. But Jeremiah, too, is a model listener. Jeremiah was chosen from the womb, remember? And he was given a very difficult assignment. He was told by the Lord to speak the word of God to the rebellious people of Israel. So for the purposes of our retreat, I want to just take one lesson from today's first reading, then we'll turn to the gospel. And this one lesson has to do with something that Samuel also experienced from the very beginning. That is that listening does not mean hearing what we want to hear. It means hearing what God wants to say. It's very basic, of course, but we often get this wrong. We tend to think that if we don't like what we hear, it must not be from God. No. Let me say it again. Listening does not mean hearing what we want to hear. It means hearing what God wants to say. In Jeremiah's case, this is what he says. I knew their plot because the Lord informed me. At that time, you, O Lord, showed me their doings. In other words, when Jeremiah listened, what did he hear? He heard about the plots of his enemies. He heard that his opponents were plotting to destroy him. Great, great message to hear from the Lord, right? Not very encouraging. And sometimes the Lord does tell us about things that are going wrong in the world, in our local communities, in our own lives. Jesus spoke very often about the sufferings that would come and about persecutions that would come. Why? Well, partly so that we would be prepared, so that we will know ahead of time. You know that old saying, forewarned is forearmed. Forewarned is forearmed. So if we know something is coming, well, then we're prepared for it. It's better to know than to be taken by surprise. But another reason why the Lord tells us about things, difficulties that we will face, and difficulties that are happening, is to remind us that God already knows this and he's in charge. We think that when things go wrong, that God's no longer in charge. No, God knows. He knew ahead of time. He's always known that we're going to face difficulties. God is not taken by surprise. We're taken by surprise, but God is never taken by surprise. And so he teaches us what's happening and what will happen so that we will not be afraid, so that we will not fear future suffering. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Lord says it all the time. You will be opposed, yes. You will suffer, yes. But do not be afraid. And we ask, well, why should I not be afraid? You're telling me about frightening things. And we should not be afraid because we belong to the Lord. And Jeremiah himself puts it this way. To you I have entrusted my cause. To you I have entrusted my cause. I'm not going to fear what they're plotting against me. Now, it's what he really wants, what Jeremiah really wants, is to see the Lord take vengeance on his enemies. He says that. I want to see you take vengeance on them. That's an Old Testament way of thinking. This is before Jesus came and revealed the radical alternative to thinking about vengeance. That is, to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies, and to pray for our persecutors. Well, Jeremiah doesn't get that far, but at least to his credit, he does leave vengeance in the Lord's hands. To you, O Lord, I have entrusted my cause. Okay, so that's the experience of Jeremiah, the listener, the prophet, the spokesman. Now let's take a look at the gospel. And again, we're going to read this gospel from the perspective of our theme, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We're the ones listening now, and the Lord is speaking, and that's always true. When we're pondering the word of God, right? When we ponder the word, we're listening to the Lord. But in this particular gospel reading, we don't have any words or actions of Jesus before us. He's off stage in this gospel. And this gives us a chance to listen in on many others who are quoted and described in this gospel. So we're shown a set of different kinds of listeners, some better than others. And all of this is the word of God to us. We are the ones listening right now, this morning. Okay, so we can see four different kinds of listeners. As usual, there's the crowd. Okay, we'll start with the crowd. Crowds in the gospel are notoriously unreliable as sources of truth for us. Why? Because crowds come up with all kinds of ideas. And sometimes they're completely opposed to each other, right? Crowds are not consistent. The most famous example of this is what we see on display on Palm Sunday, right? On Palm Sunday, in one moment, the crowd is shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the next moment, the crowd is shouting, Crucify him, crucify him. That's Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion. Well, in this crowd, some are saying Jesus must be the prophet. Some are saying he must be the Messiah, the Christ. Some are saying no. Some are saying yes. Some are saying he should be arrested. If I could paraphrase the gospel, blah, 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 blah. That's what crowds are. They just talk about a lot of things. Blah, 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 blah. Typical division, typical social turmoil. And it all comes to nothing. It's basically a bunch of words. Nobody does anything. Even those who think he's the Messiah, they don't do anything about it. They just come up with that idea. So this actually should be familiar to us because this is how it is in every age. It's just magnified in the age of the internet. On the internet, there's just a lot of noise, a lot of words, and not very much that's worth listening to. Yes, there's good, there's truth as well. Certainly there is. But it's mixed in with a lot of other stuff. That's the crowd. Okay, that's first. Secondly, the second category of listeners is the temple guards. Now, don't think of, you know, powerful soldiers or centurions or something here. These are faithful Jews who are guarding the temple. You might think of the security guards that work in our neighborhoods. Basically, simple men, minimum wage jobs, security guards. They're just doing their job to support their families. They don't have any agenda. What do these simple, ordinary working men say? Never before has anyone spoken like this man. Never before has anyone spoken like this man. In light of our theme this weekend, that's the best line of the whole gospel. Right? You could underline it in your honorable way. Never before has anyone spoken like this man. This is absolutely true. It's more true than the guards themselves even realize. Jesus is not like anyone else. And no one has ever spoken like him. His words are not like any other words. He has the words of everlasting life. And the right response to what he says is to listen and to follow. Not to resist, not to gossip, not to question, certainly not to arrest him, but to listen and to follow. No one has ever spoken like him. So the guards are the best so far. Maybe hearing this straightforward answer of the guards can make us think about Jesus in his teaching about the good shepherd and his sheep. It's another passage about listening. The shepherd walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of a stranger. Okay, so good sheep recognize the voice. Good sheep are good listeners. Now, we don't know if the guards ever followed Jesus. We don't hear any more about them. But at least they show themselves capable of listening to his words, listening to his voice, and distinguishing that his voice is unlike any other voice they have ever heard. And this capacity that they have is what we need. We need to recognize his voice. And when we say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," we're opening our hearts to that voice so that we can follow him. Okay, so we have the crowd, we have the temple guards, then we have the worst example, the chief priests and the Pharisees. I don't think we have to elaborate a lot on them here. It's enough to say that we don't want to be like them. They're bad listeners. In fact, they're not listening at all, right? I mean, why are they not listening? Because they have that moral sickness, which is so often mentioned in Lent, that condition that we are repeatedly warned against, hardness of heart. They have hardness of heart. You know the expression, it's in the Lenten liturgy all the time. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The guards hear his voice, they don't harden their hearts. The Pharisees, they harden their hearts before they even hear his voice. Hardness of heart sometimes shows up in the Pharisees in their hypocrisy. But in this gospel, they're just too full of themselves. They don't even try to be hypocrites or try to make a different show of themselves. They're just convinced that they're right, that they know more than everyone else, and that anyone who disagrees with them is either stupid or cursed. Remember what they say about the crowd? The crowd, they don't know the law, they're cursed. That's what judgmental attitude sounds like. So they're self-righteous, they're impatient, they're judgmental. And when we are self-righteous and when we are impatient and when we are judgmental, that's a sure sign that we're not listening. We're not listening to the Lord anyway. It's a sign that we have hardness of heart. So if you find yourself impatient and judgmental, hardness of heart talaga. That's what it sounds like. See it in the Pharisees. Okay, let's go to the last of the four. I have the crowds, temple guards, Pharisees. Last is Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee too. He's one of the authorities, but he's not hard of heart. He's a listener, but he's a timid listener, fearful listener. He's not hard of heart, but he's not that quick to follow either. He doesn't stand against Jesus, but he does very little to stand for him either. The guards say more in his favor than Nicodemus does, even though Nicodemus knows more than the guards know. So Nicodemus, he appeals to the proper legal process. It's an appeal to reason, basically, which is usually good. But the Pharisees are not listening to reason. So it doesn't work. Instead, they just ridicule him. They shut him down. They accuse him of being from Galilee, which I guess was a pretty bad insult in those days. You're from Galilee. It's an insult. And we don't hear more from Nicodemus until he shows up again after the crucifixion. Okay. Well, the last words of the Pharisees to Nicodemus are, "Look it up, no prophet arises from Galilee." Sounds so convincing, they're so sure of themselves, until we recall that Jesus wasn't born in Galilee anyway. He was from Bethlehem, and they don't bother to find that out. Not only that, there's at least one prophet from Galilee, Jonah. Jonah, again, he comes up a lot when you think about listening. The one prophet that Jesus points to during his own ministry is Jonah, when Jesus says, "You have a greater than Jonah here. You have a greater than Jonah here." So if Jonah's words had such impact on the Ninevites, you have someone greater than Jonah here, because no one has ever spoken like this man before. Okay, so that's as far as we'll go for now. We take a look at these different people: Jeremiah, the crowds, the guards, the Pharisees, Nicodemus, and we ask ourselves, well, which one am I? What kind of listener am I? Do I really listen at all? These are the kind of questions that guide our reflections on this retreat.